Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Tilaknagar Industries Limited's earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddharth Rangnekar from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Yashasri. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Tilaknagar Industries Limited's Quarter 2 FY25 earnings conference call. We are joined today by Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Amit Dhanorkar, President, Strategy and Corporate Development, Amey Deshpande, and Chief Financial Officer of the company, Mr. Abhinav Gupta. We shall commence with views from Mr. Dhanorkar on the strategic performance and Mr. Deshpande on the financial highlights. This shall be followed by an interactive question and answer session. Before we begin, I would like to state that certain statements made on today's call could be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the results presentation that was shared with you earlier and which is also available on the stock exchange website. I would now like to request Mr. Dhanorkar to make his opening comments. Over to you, Mr. Dhanorkar.
Thank you and good morning to all. At the outset, I am pleased to share that as of September 2024, we have turned net debt-free well before our stated target of March 2025. We have come a long way from a peak debt of over rupees 1,100 crores as of March 2019 to today. All this would have not been possible without our focus around profitable growth and cash flow management. With a clear direction of gaining market share in a large IMFL category like brandy, we were able to grow faster than industry, having outperformed industry growth in FY23 and FY24. While our growth momentum in the first half of FY25 has been relatively muted, it is still in line with overall industry growth. Given the high saliency of our business from southern India, the industry-wide issues of higher consumer prices in Karnataka, elongated receivable cycles in Telangana, and route-to-market transitioning in Andhra Pradesh, all had an impact on our growth trajectory. Despite all this, we have managed to expand our market share in the prestige and above segment in each of our key southern states. Quarter 2 saw us continue to be the third largest P&A player across IMFL categories in large states like Karnataka and Telangana. We also continue to be the largest IMFL player in Puducherry. With Karnataka reducing excise duties, we have started seeing a good uptake in volumes in the state. I am happy to share that the month of September saw us clocking our highest ever primary and secondary volumes in the state. And even happier to share that October beat this mark comfortably as well. We have now started receiving old dues from Telangana and expect the balance overdue amounts to be settled over the course of the next few months. Most recently, the new RTM in Andhra Pradesh kicked in from mid-October. With retail now becoming private, the IMFL industry in the state is expected to become a consumer-driven market and will be highly beneficial for an already existing market-leading player like TI, who has fast-moving brands like Mansion House Brandy and Courier Napoleon Brandy, which have a tremendous consumer franchise and brand equity in the market. The fact that AP has a significant brandy-drinking population makes the opportunity even more appealing. With these recent developments, we are now targeting mid-teen volume growth in H2 FY25. On the portfolio front, Flandy continues to grow, providing brandy an exciting canvas to position itself as a drink for multiple occasions as well as varied consumer demographics. The P&A saliency within the CNB family portfolio continues to grow, coming in at 38% in Q2 versus 32% in Q2 last year, and 33% in Q1 FY25. Mansion House Brandy continues to drive brandy industry growth. We expect our price laddering strategy for brandy to drive positive results in the times to come. On our non-brandy strategy, we recently launched Mansion House Whiskey in Assam. The brand is positioned in the semi-premium segment, which is one of the fastest growing profitable segments in the whiskey category. We are looking at using our distribution strength in our existing whiskey large states over the months to come. Once we have a fair visibility on the progress made by the brand, we will look to further expand into regions where we are not yet present. Our luxury foray is now only a few weeks away, with our own luxury brandy to be launched in Q3 FY25. In addition, we have also recently entered into a usership agreement with Spaceman Spirits Lab, our investee company and the makers of Samsara Gin and Sitara Rum. Through the usership agreement, we will start selling both these brands in certain states in India and internationally. This will be followed by a few more launches soon. Before I hand it over to Ameya, I would also like to elaborate on the easing of the cost pressures on the raw material and packing material side. While the last couple of years were tough for the industry, we saw our margins expand on the back of our premiumization drive. With inflationary pressures easing, especially on packing material side, and premiumization drive only gaining further pace, we expect to further expand our margins in the times to come. I now hand over to Ameya to take you through our Q2 operational and financial performance and will be happy to take any questions in the Q&A to follow.
Thank you, and a very warm welcome to all of you joining us today. I'll take you through our financial and operating highlights for Q2 FY25. As mentioned by Mr. Dhanukar earlier, our volume and revenue growth for Q2 was slightly muted due to evolving policies in key states. However, we achieved substantial margin expansion and remain optimistic about a mid-teen volume growth in the second half of this year. For Q2 FY25, our revenue growth stood at 5.8% year-on-year to 375 crores, with underlying volume growth at 3.1%. Revenue for the first half increased by 4.5% to 688 crores. The NSR per case was at 1274 in the second quarter, while the first quarter NSR stood at 1264 per case. Q2 also saw us delivering our highest ever EBITDA. EBITDA for the quarter showed significant growth of 39% YOY to 66 crores on the back of superior brand mix and ongoing cost optimization efforts. EBITDA margins expanded by 422 basis points to 17.6%, and adjusted for the subsidy income, EBITDA stood at 56 crores at a margin of 15.3%, showing a 188 basis points margin expansion on adjusted EBITDA. For H125, EBITDA reached 116 crores with margins at 16.9%, marking an expansion of 385 basis points. Similarly, PAT increased by 82% to 58 crores, up from 32 crores in Q2 of last year. For the first half, PAT rose to 98 crores, which saw a 70% increase from 58 crores in the same period last year. While packing material costs have seen some level of softening, we continue to be cautious about ENA prices. We expect that there will be no meaningful inflationary impact on COGS in the near term. We are optimistic about continued margin growth even as we sustain investments in advertising and sales promotion to enhance the visibility of our brandy portfolio. On the debt front, I'm particularly pleased to share that we have now turned net debt free as of September 24, an achievement reached ahead of our targets. Through disciplined financial management, we have effectively reduced interest expenses and strengthened our balance sheet, establishing a solid foundation for sustainable growth. On the strategic investment side, we have announced a follow-on investment in Spaceman Spirits Lab, the makers of Samsara Gin and Sitara Rum, which will see our shareholding go up to 20% on a fully diluted basis. We'll be investing 13.15 crore in three tranches over a period of 18 months, with the first tranche of 4 crores invested in September 24. The remaining two tranches are expected to be invested by mid-FY26 and end-FY26. As mentioned by Mr. Dhanukar earlier, we have also entered into a usership agreement with Spaceman, whereby we will start selling their brands in select regions in India and internationally. We expect to start this business in the second half of this financial year. We also made an investment of 8 crores in Round the Cocktails Private Limited, the makers of Bartisans, a ready-to-pour premium cocktail mixer brand. Given the high brand recall for its products, premium price point, strong unit economics, and our own vision to make brandy fun and exciting, we see Bartisans as a great avenue to play the cocktail culture emergence story in India's alcobev evolution. Post this investment, we own 36.2% of RTC on a fully diluted basis. Before we open the line for Q&A, we would like to reiterate that profitable growth and cash flow management remain our focus, and we are highly confident in the future growth potential of the Indian alcobev sector, and we see us play a leading role in this growth. With that, I would now request the moderator to open the call for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take our first question from the line of Abneesh Roy from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. My first question is on Telangana. So what is the status on improvement in collection? We have seen that many states are offering a lot of freebies to the rural and the lower end of population. Given that, revenue and cost PLA is a mismatch. So how do you see in the H2 in terms of collections for the industry and for you? And any insight on pricing in Telangana in the next 1 year, would you expect the pricing in that market?
So overdue position, we are at roughly 10 weeks overdue in Telangana. And in terms of pricing, I think they have set up a pricing committee to fix price of beer. So once beer is done, then perhaps they will take up IMFL after that.
And this 10 weeks at peak, it was how much? And historically, what was the low for the collection?
So historically, it would have been around 8 to 9 weeks would have been low. And at peak, it has gone up to 18 to 19 weeks.
Understood. Second question is in terms of the Andhra market. In the interview just a few minutes back, you did say that initially there could be some hiccups, which we understand. My question is not at all on next two quarters. My question is when the stability comes, say in the next 18 months or 24 months, in the peak, how much was Andhra market? And I'm sure there will be some leakages even in the last 5 years. Indian borders are extremely porous. State borders are extremely porous. So if 100 was the peak in the last 5 years, how much was your presence in that market? And in 24 months, would you expect the peak to come back on the under, in the Andhra market?
So, Avnish, Andhra, see, the industry, at least in the recent couple of quarters, right, has seen a bit of a degrowth on account of the RTM changes and the policy changes that were expected. Now, going forward, obviously, given how the past industry worked, the two governments prior, right, we did have a private retail model back then as well. So, basis that and given the kind of, the other state kind of data that we have, we do expect the volumes to grow pretty significantly in the state going forward, right? So, and given the fact, as we mentioned earlier, given the fact that we are a leading player in the state already with a fast-moving brand or a portfolio of brands in the state, we do expect to take a larger share of this pie of growth going forward.
I wanted a more specific answer because the number one listed spirits company said that 4 to 5% of their India business used to come from Andhra, which became almost negligible. You are a south-focused player, and you did say that you already have some presence. So, in your case, the Andhra business eventually, how big will it be in terms of percentage of sales? Because you are anyway a south-focused player.
So, currently it is 30% of sales, and we may expect, you know, totally Andhra, we can expect, I think, mid-teens growth would be reasonable to expect.
But there is no negative impact you see, right, on Andhra because you already have a business there. Is there some negative impact which can happen?
I don't feel there will be a negative impact. And the reason for that is we are expecting the industry itself to grow. So currently, I think the industry is at 30 lakh cases per month. I think comfortably we can say that within the next 2 to 3 years, it will be a 40 lakh industry. You know, with number of retails increasing and privatization, we are quite confident that retail industry itself would be around 40 lakh cases in the next 2 to 3 years.
Understood. Last quick question on demand side. So almost every consumption company is speaking on urban slowdown, QSR, FMCG, footwear, retail, everything. So in your markets, how do you see urban slowdown impact? You have given a guidance in the second half. Is the optimism coming because of Andhra? Because mid-teens growth is a very tall task, and in first half you have grown in line with industry. So if you could address all these points.
So there are two, three drivers which we see for the second half. One is certainly it will be Andhra. Two, in Karnataka also, as we mentioned in the opening remarks, we have gone through a pricing correction. The MRPs have gone down, which has resulted in, you know, the sales improving fast in the month of September and further improving in the month of October. So we should have some benefit coming in from Karnataka as well. And plus, being primarily driven by brandy sales, about 85-90% of our portfolio being brandy, we do see seasonality kick in slightly more significantly for us also in the second half.
And just to add to that, Avnish, while we have grown at the same pace as the overall industry or better from a P&A perspective, one point that I just wanted to bring out was that if you adjust this for the impact of Andhra slowdown, right, then we have grown at 9% in the first half of this year.
Understood. Thanks. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants to press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Rishabh Gang from Sacheti Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. First of all, many, many congratulations for becoming net debt free. You know, so I wanted to know some insights on the strategic initiatives and 1 to 2 years target of your investee companies, right, where you have a meaningful stake such as 20% or more, like in Samsara, Bartisans and Incredible Spirits. So, can you throw some light on that, sir?
Yeah, so I'll take the strategic investments first, right? So when we look at Samsara, right, Samsara as of today is a 20 crore net revenue business as of FY24, right? We see this this business growing exponentially or significantly, right? Because as of now, they are present in only a few states, their key states being Haryana, Goa, Maharashtra and Karnataka. As we grow in further states on the back of TI's distribution strength, which would be in the southern markets of Telangana, Pondicherry, as well as AP, as well as east and northeast, and add to that the fact that we will double down on international business as well as the canteen stores department business, we do see significant growth coming in over here. While it would be difficult to quantify this growth, safe to assume that that we would be growing double at least for this year, for the coming year, and going forward faster than at the same rate, maybe.
And for Bartisans and Incredible Spirits?
So Bartisans, we have just made the investment. It's they have done a revenue of around 3.5 crores for FY24, right? And again, it's the same thing that over there, the distribution channel was significantly D2C for them, right, for FY24. More than 80% of all their business was driven by their own website. Now with the emergence of quick commerce as well as your dark kitchen concepts which get serviced through Swiggy and Zomato, with these distribution channels coming in, we do see business growing exponentially over there. Again, not in a position to quantify in those terms, but you will see significant growth coming from that spectrum as well.
So, you know, on Bartisans, right, since Bartisans is engaged in the business of selling non-alcoholic beverages, right, so wish to understand what is the difference between the marketing tools for such products versus our standard alcoholic beverages. If you can just tell what does the industry think about it, what are the rules and regulations for the same?
No, sir, I think the kind of marketing that can be done for a brand like Bartizan's is, frankly, it's a wide space, right? You can do just about anything from that perspective. And if you follow Bartizan's, they are a very digital-first company, right? So they have a great presence on social media as we speak, right? So Instagram, Facebook, and all are big for them. And given the fact that now they are also getting distribution reach through their own channels, through Nature's Basket and Lamarche of the likes, as well as the online digital platforms, there is a lot of visibility play for a player like Bartizan's. In comparison, obviously, as an alcobev player, there are certain restrictions on us, right, to from a marketing perspective. So it's frankly, if you look at it, it's chalk and cheese from a marketing perspective. Having said that, there are multiple collaboration opportunities that exist over here, right, between Bartizan's and TI. As I mentioned earlier, we have been talking about our vision to make brandy more fun, more exciting, right? And that is where Bartizan's comes into play, whereby there will be collaborations whereby we come out with co-created mixers for brandy, as well as for our own brands as such.
So, since we have such a meaningful stake in Bartizan's, would it be like sometime down the line, would they be saying themselves from the house of Tilaknagar or from the house of Mansion House, like something like this?
So obviously, see, I can speak for now, right? But I can also give you a thought process behind our investment, right, of 36.2%. We've always been looking at having a significant minority stake to begin with in our inorganic investments, right? Because at the end of the day, we want the founders to run with their vision for their brands and their companies, right? But having said that, this is not where we're going to stop, right? At the end of the day, if things do work out well and they go in the direction that we expect them to go in, then obviously this will become, at some point, I'm hopeful that this will become a part of overall TI family.
All right. Also, on the incredible spreads, because I have not heard anything, I have not even read anything about in the annual report also much about that. So any update on that?
Yeah, so in fact, on Incredible Spirits, given the fact that it was a fairly small investment of 1 crore, we took a call. We have taken a call to exit our investment in October, right? And we have exited Incredible Spirits at cost.
Okay. Also, for each of the investments, can you elaborate on how we are benefiting from the synergy, right, between Tilaknagar and the investee company? Like you mentioned about the usership agreement. So how are we monetizing our distribution reach? Like, if you can just say, tell about how it happens at the industry level, how the monetization happens, maybe if you don't want to tell specifics.
Yeah.
Also, same Samsara, as I heard, they also have access to Northern India markets, right? You mentioned Haryana and all. So how are we leveraging their distribution reach for selling maybe some of our high-end products, like Mansion House, Chambers, or sometime down the line, luxury brandy? Because these are markets which we don't access right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so I'll first take the first part of your question, right? Now, what does a usership agreement mean, or what is that arrangement? It essentially means that we will sell their products under TI name, manufacture it in our own facilities, and sell it under our name, and pay them a royalty for the sales that we make, right? This royalty would be on a per-case basis. I'm going to give you a very principal overview, right, of this entire transaction. So basically, we'll be paying a royalty per case to them for the sales that we make. Every revenue expense that we incur for this particular sale in the states that are covered under the usership agreement will form a part of Tilaknagar Industries' financials, right? It will also be manufactured by Tilaknagar Industries to that extent. So that is the way this will work in a royalty kind of a model. So thereby, the entire profitability of that brand, and remember that Samsara is maybe the only Indian craft business which is profitable. in India, right? When I say an Indian craft, I mean an independent Indian craft business which is profitable in India. So we do see tremendous amount of value that gets generated over here. On your second part, right, of the question, which is the northern territories, obviously, see, Alcobev today is a significantly distribution-driven business, right? It helps to have a portfolio of brands when we go to newer states to sell, right? So from that perspective, the moment Samsara goes along with, let's say, the luxury brandy that Tilaknagar Industries will start selling on its own, it kind of lends that much more credibility as well as opportunity or potential from a portfolio of craft brands in these new states.
Okay. You know, because, you know, I think you are doing such an innovation in brandy space, so there's a lot to capitalize even in the northern states where we are not very much present right now. Also, you know, I wanted to understand, I saw that we have launched Mansion House Whiskey in Assam, similar to our launch of Blue Lagoon in Northeast India. So can you throw some light about our strategic emphasis on Northeastern market for newer launches in non-brandy category? Like, how, why do we select Northeast only? And any difference in this region in terms of the competitive intensity versus other regions? If you can just throw some light on that.
So Northeast we chose because, you know, Assam is a market which has, you know, historically been known to, you know, be fairly receptive to new product introductions in terms of, you know, trade and also the retail shops and also consumers. So that is one of the reasons why we chose Assam as the first point of entry for whiskey. And we will wait and watch, you know, of course the Blue Lagoon gin, that's small because the gin is not even 1% of the industry. It's mainly whiskey industry, which is 90%. So that is our initial foray. And we will be quite guarded about our expansion now, seeing the developments of Mansion House Whiskey over the next 6 months. We can look at taking it to the sister states as well.
And just adding to that, right, the reason for East and Northeast is also because we do have a pretty strong presence in at least a couple of states over here, right? So we are one of the largest players in the state of Sikkim. We are also a pretty large player in the state of Orissa. We have an almost 2% share of the entire IMFL industry in a market which is more than 80%, what do you say, whiskey and rum strong, or rather more than 95% whiskey and rum strong, right? So from that perspective, we do have a pretty significant distribution reach and a decent market share from a prestige and above industry perspective as well.
And another reason for Assam is upfront investments in terms of company, in terms of working capital also. They are on lower side, you know, if you were to look at markets such as Karnataka, they would be very high in terms of investment and duties, etc. Telangana would be elongated payment cycle. So, you know, not that favorable, which is why we chose Assam as first state to introduce whiskey.
So, and for the states in which, you know, we have launched brandy, so you tell it on the base of Mansion House brandy sales, right? What is the percentage of brandy volumes? If you can just tell a bit about that, because last time it was 10%, so interested to know that.
Yeah, so we've kind of maintained the same saliency for this quarter, right? So it is around 7% of overall Mansion House saliency that we have in the relevant states. We've also seen the launch. Sorry?
And the relevant states being, which are these states?
They would be Telangana, Andhra Pradesh, Pondicherry and Sikkim.
Okay. And you were saying something else as well. Yeah.
Yeah, no, so I was just adding that we also launched the green apple flavor within the Flandy portfolio, right? And that has been seeing some interesting offtake as well in states, in the states of Telangana and AP.
And, you know, can Flandy be a millionaire brand by year end, right? So if you can just tell about the, what has been the volume for H1, if possible to share.
That is the level of data that we don't actually provide. However, will it be a millionaire brand this year? No, it will not be a millionaire brand this year, right? But having said that, given the size of the flavored industry, it has taken a significant share right? And also we see tremendous potential in the space. Flavored spirits are one of the fastest growing spirits category in IMFL today. So we do see a significant opportunity over here, right? Flandy is also our way of changing the way people see brandy as a category. So we are very much focused on this brand going forward, and hopefully will be a millionaire brand fairly soon.
Also, in the past,
Rishabh, I request you to join back the queue, please, as we have other participants waiting for their turn.
Thank you so much. I will join back.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to answer queries from all participants, please restrict your questions to two at a time. You may join back the queue for follow-up questions. We'll take the next question from the line of Harsh Sheth from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on great numbers. So just a couple of questions. Firstly, on ENA front, what is our outlook on ENA prices? And secondly, if you could share some update on, Shrirampur Distillery. So we were contemplating some bit of capex here, once we become net debt free. So anything on that? And just, adding to that, recently listed IMFL player acquired a distillery in Maharashtra, as basically they see a case for backward integration given the spreads for, say, in-house versus external procurement of ENA, besides wanting to secure ENA supply. So, now that we are debt free, would we be considering backward integration or we would continue to be asset light?
So currently we don't have any meaningful update to, share on the green distillery front. And, going forward, if there is any significant update, then we will keep everyone informed. But as of now, it is status quo.
Right.
On the ENA front, we've seen for the quarter ENA prices for us reducing by another rupee per liter. Right. So whilst in the previous quarter in Q1, the average price was around 70 rupees a liter. Right now, we are looking at around 69.
And do we expect this to, sustain to be stable in near term with new grain coming in?
So, difficult to predict the ENA prices, to be very frank. But at our end, we are fairly confident that we shouldn't see too much of volatility in the prices in ENA.
Right. And so, lastly, if you could, share your guidance on CAPEX. What sort of CAPEX are we looking for, say, the next couple of years, and in what aspect?
Yeah, so the guidance remains the same. Our maintenance CAPEX could remain anywhere in the range of 15 to 20 odd CR on a yearly basis. That's the maintenance CAPEX.
Understood.
And as in when we do take a call on the distillery, we'll let you all know, but that will be an investment of around 45 CR.
Around 45 CR. So roughly we'll... So we are at, say, 150 KLPD and we might be, adding another 100 KLPD or is that correct?
No, no. We'll be recommissioning the 100 KLPD plant.
Okay. Recommissioning the 100 KLPD. Understood. So I'll rejoin the queue for the follow-up question. Thanks and congratulations once again on great results.
Thanks.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Darshika Khemka from AV FinCorp. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity and many congratulations.
Darshika, sorry to interrupt. May I request you to use your handset mode, please?
Yes. Is this better?
You can go ahead with your question.
Yes. So, thank you for the opportunity and many congratulations. I have a couple of questions. Firstly, what was the overdue that we had from Telangana? And how much out of that have we received?
So Telangana, as such, at certain point of time, the overdues had increased, say, more than 18-19 weeks. And currently also, the overdue position would be around 10 weeks as compared to the normal cycle of receiving the money in about 45 days. Okay. Yes, situation has improved significantly. But still, I think, is business as normal? No, it is not business as normal.
Oh, okay. And do we expect to receive this amount in the coming quarter itself, or would this push to Q4? Q4.
Yeah, it would be difficult to say. I mean, it's as I said, it's not a normal business cycle as of now. But yes, I think within next 3 to 4 months, we should be hoping to get it regularized.
Okay.
So can I add that the government seems to be proactive in terms of, you know, moving towards reducing dues of industry suppliers. The government is taking steps in that direction.
Okay, got it. Also, by when do we expect our tax incidents to come back? I think the last in some phone call you had mentioned that it will start from FY25. I don't see that happening. So do we expect taxes to start coming in from FY26?
You can expect it from first quarter of next financial year.
All right. That's it for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Sunny Gosar from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. And first of all, congratulations on a strong performance in a challenging environment. So I have a couple of questions. First is on the Mansion House whiskey. Basically, against what is the price point for this? And basically, what is the peer set or the competition set against which this product is cross-lined to? And what is the category size of this price point in the relevant Eastern and Southern states?
Sunny, as I was saying, the Mansion House whiskey has been launched in the semi-premium segment. So comparable brands would be Royal Stag, Royal Challenge, right? So these would be your comparable brands. In specifically for Assam, this would be priced at around 560 rupees for a 750 ml bottle. Right. And in terms of our initial target markets, right, there are 4 states that we could initially major whiskey consuming markets where we have distributions. Volumes would be in the range of 13 to 15 million cases.
Got it. That's helpful. One related question I have on this is that the category that you have entered has some strong incumbents. So what is our differentiation or basically the marketing pitch, basically which will help us gain market share here? And have there been new brands which have come in this category and created some sizable volumes, which gives us the confidence that we will be able to replicate similar success?
Yeah, so see, in this price segment, right, if you actually go to see, while I took the names of Royal Stag and Royal Challenge, which are backed by two of the largest players in the space, there are also multiple other brands which have actually gained millionaire status, right? These include the likes of Royal Green. You also have All Seasons, White and Blue, and a lot of other players who are doing really well and are millionaire brands in their own right. So from that perspective, while obviously there are large incumbents in this space, we do see good amount of opportunity in this segment for the simple reason that there is sheer enormity and of that segment, right? This is a supremely large segment. So any little share that you actually gain in this market will be incrementally positive for someone like us.
Got it. That's helpful. My next question is on the capital allocation. So company has become net debt free and assuming some of the overdues from Telangana come back in H2, our cash position with the internal accruals should strengthen further by March 25, and you will be left with substantial amount of cash pool. So have we thought about what our capital allocation policy will be in terms of shareholder payouts or any inorganic opportunities or any substantial brand launches which will need some kind of initial investment. So how should we think about that?
So our goal right now, I think, is, you know, by March 25, you know, we want to have significant reserves in terms of cash reserves to strengthen the balance sheet. And we will be alive to, you know, inorganic opportunities which, you know, may come our way. We'll evaluate them and take calls. Plus, we will have sufficient ability to invest behind our existing brands and look for opportunities in other categories and geographies as well.
Right. Right. And any thoughts on say, like a dividend distribution policy or anything?
So Sunny, we have just about started our dividend distributions, right, over the past couple of years now. So it's been 3 years that we've been distributing dividends, right, in the recent past. Obviously, this is evolving, right, and we will look at it more closely going forward now, given the fact that we are net debt free now. But for the moment, nothing much to add on that, right? We'll let you all know as and when we do decide.
Great. Thanks. Thanks for the detailed responses and all the best for the future quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Pavandeep from NV Alpha. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
Sir, I didn't understand the model that we are going to share with Samsara going forward. If you could explain me this user agreement. So we have a long-term vision to get Samsara in our family, as you said, TIL family. What is this distribution model and the royalty? Can you just explain it again?
Yeah, so let me just explain it again. Essentially, what this means is that we will start selling under the usership agreement for specific states and regions. We will start selling Samsara and Sitara brands under Tilaknagar Industries name, which essentially means that we will manufacture the product in our units, right? We will sell the products under our name, which would essentially mean that all revenue and costs come into TI books, right? And for that, we pay a royalty fee to Spaceman Spirits Lab on a per case basis.
Okay. When you say TIL name, as in like the name would be Samsara only, right? Because the brand.
What I mean to say is that it will come under our books for those particular states, right? It will still be sold under Samsara. It would just be manufactured for those particular states by Tilaknagar Industries.
And what is the royalty understanding, sir?
That's not something that we disclose publicly.
Sure. And sir, what is our revenue expectations, you know, and our vision 3-4 years out with whiskey and gin coming? Our dependency is 85% on brandy. Going forward, what is our vision as a company that we want this number coming from non-brandy?
Yes, so as it stands, actually, brandy is more than 90% of our volumes, right? So I think there's something that we've mentioned earlier as well. Our vision 2030 would be more like an 80-20 saliency, whereby 80% of our business is still driven by brandy, but the 20%, the non-brandy kind of expands to 20% from the current 6%.
Okay. Sir, one last question. If we have invested in Samsara with a 20 crore revenue, okay, under our distribution and like our vast brandy distribution, where do we think we can take this number if the company where we have invested in only is making a revenue of 20 crores? My question is, can we like see a meaningful number coming from gin, especially Samsara and other players, in our consolidated revenues?
Yeah, obviously we see significant upside over here, right, and potential over here. While the 20 crores, as I mentioned earlier as well, the 20 crores that you're looking at from a net revenue perspective is business which has been built in predominantly four states, right? And that too, which have come into the pipeline in at least one state has come into the pipeline in the mid of FY24. Right, so we do see a great amount of opportunity over there. In terms of quantification, we won't get into that, right? But it is a significantly large opportunity even from an institutional business perspective for Samsara.
Okay, can I squeeze one last question, sir?
Yeah, sure.
Sir, in tracking this space since a while, what was our understanding? I might have missed this point. In launching whiskey in a state like Assam, because normally people would start with a more populated state when they want to penetrate into whiskey. What was the thought process, sir? Because the product looks very good with the NSRs and everything that we are talking about.
No, like we mentioned earlier as well, right, Assam is a fairly launch-friendly state when it comes to it, right? Many of the brands that you see, especially on the whiskey front, get launched in Assam first. That's on account of also because the working capital requirements are lesser in the state. And given the fact that the semi-premium whiskey segment is fairly large in the state, it is 2 lakh cases per month, right? So it's a pretty large segment. So it's not a bad place to start off with. And at least in our case, because we already have a presence in Assam, it was kind of the right thing to do in our minds.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, Amit, and congratulations for good set of numbers. My question is specifically when I look at first half, we have done about 5.5 million cases. And I was just more interested in what is the branding if you strip out in 5.5 million cases in first half?
So brandy itself would be more than 90% of this.
Okay, 90%.
Yeah.
And I was more curious, if our NSR is about 1,274, what would be the NSR difference or for the Mansion House Chambers and Green?
So Mansion House Chambers would have an NSR which would be at least around 35% more than Mansion House average. And that would be kind of similar for Flandy as well. Flandy would be around 25% more than Mansion House.
Okay. So these numbers what you have put in is the NSR number.
Which number?
In the presentation, there is a...
Yeah, that's the NSR number. Yes, the 1274 per case is the NSR per case.
Okay. Just one follow-up here. Where do we manufacture Chambers and Green?
Chambers is manufactured in Maharashtra at Shrirampur unit. And Flandy is manufactured, is bottled at multiple states, wherever we are present.
Okay. My second and last question, you mentioned that about 30 lakh cases is the AP market. Is that correct?
That is the current volume, yes.
Okay. So, would you be able to break how much is brandy and the whiskey portfolio?
Brandy would be roughly 35%.
Okay. 35%.
Yes.
And who are the brands which are existing? I mean, obviously, there will be local which will be competing.
So, there are a number of brands. Many of them are local also. Primarily, most of them are local.
Okay. And in the first step, when you expect, what kind of distribution leg up you expect to settle down in the next 2 to 3 quarters? Specifically,
didn't understand that question. Could you repeat that?
No, I'm asking in Andhra Pradesh, what is the first leg up we would expect to touch upon? How many outlets or number of distribution points we would expect in within next 2 to 3 quarters?
We will reach all the. We already have 100% WOD in Andhra, and even with the incremental new shops which have come in, we have 100% WOD.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Hiten Boricha from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Mr. Boricha, we can hear you. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I have a couple of questions. The first one is on the incentive. You mentioned we have received some incentives in Q2. So if you can please quantify the number and what are we expecting in H2?
Well, this amount relates to industrial promotion subsidy provided by the government of Maharashtra under package scheme of incentives.
So if you can quantify the amount.
So in first quarter, we received 5.56 crores and we received a further 10.36 crores in quarter two.
10.36. Okay. And similar amount is expected in H2 as well.
We are unable to quantify that at the moment.
Okay, okay. And I have one more question on Telangana, sir. So out of total receivable, can you quantify what is the money stuck in Telangana? What are we expecting?
So around the total receivables in the state would be around 130 crores, right? And around 80 crores of this would be overdue.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Rohan from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes,
Rohan, we can hear you.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is that the auditors have qualified opinion based on non-impairment of the ENA plant. So what is the value of the ENA plant as on date and what is the impact of it going forward?
So I think as we have been discussing in the call that there is one grain distillery which we intend to start at some point in time. Obviously, evaluation of various options is underway.
Okay.
And this is basically the recommissioning of the existing distillery plant of 100 KLPD grain distillery. That is why the auditor has qualified that once the management takes the call, then obviously it will get recommissioned and perhaps there will be no question of any impairment. But till the time we take that call, the capex is done and the distillery is started, the qualification will come.
So what will be the cost to recommission this plant?
So this cost will be, we are expecting to be around 45 crores.
Around 45 crores.
Okay. Around 45 crores, yeah. So this will be at a significant discount to what if we were to set up a new greenfield distillery. And that would make its payback much better as compared to anybody wanting to set up a greenfield plant today.
Okay, and what would be the value of this plant as on date if you could help me with that?
Currently, if a similar distillery were to be set up, it would be upwards of 100 crores, 120 crores. And since we would just have to recommission and basically replace some of the worn-out parts, we are expecting that it would take us around 45 to 50 crores to recommission.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much. That's all from my side.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Prateek Poddar from Bandhan AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. We have three. I have three questions. One is, could you just help me understand what kind of market share gains will happen in Andhra Pradesh after the relaxation of policy? That's one. Second is, how should we think about NSR increase from a 2-3 year perspective?
Mr. Poddar, can you please speak a bit louder, please?
Yeah. And last question was, if you could just help me understand the gross profit improvement which has happened, how much is due to premiumization and how much is due to cost reductions? I mean, lower input costs.
So on market share in Andhra Pradesh, we are currently around 10%. You know, we would look at improving from here on an expanded industry base, I think. So, you know, that would be my reaction to that question, you know, that industry will increase and we'll try and improve our market share.
On the gross margins, Prateek, we saw a 200 odd basis points increase in gross margin, right? This is net adjusted for subsidy.
This was predominantly on account of reduction in ENA prices and the bottle cost reductions that we've seen, as well as other cost optimization initiatives. So little over here with regards to the premiumization drive itself, right, in this quarter, but more to do with the cost optimizations. The NSR has kind of remained the same, so thereby the premiumization drive has not really impacted the gross margins in this quarter.
Understood. And how should I think about NSR, let's say, from a 2-3 year perspective? Because I think I heard, if I'm not wrong, you did talk about getting into luxury, right, in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, yes. So Prateek, the thing is that when we provide guidance on NSR, right, we provide that guidance more from a steady state business perspective, right? So existing business, if we go to see, I think we should be able to see NSR if volume growth is mid double digit kind of range, then the net revenue growth would be a couple of over and above that, right? But this guidance, business perspective. Obviously,
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. We lost your voice in the middle. Can you just repeat the last sentence, please?
Yeah, I was saying that if we look at our revenue guidance, right, our revenue guidance would be a couple of hundred basis points more than our volume guidance, right? But this is based on our existing business perspective. From a luxury portfolio and all, obviously, that will have an incremental benefit to NSRs, but that is something that we are not guiding towards as of now.
Got it. Very clear. Thanks.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Rishabh Gang from Sacheti Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So in the past, you have mentioned that the state mix impacts the trajectory of our EBITDA margin. So can you please help us understand with some granular insights, right, on how the state mix actually impacts the EBITDA margin? Also, some light on the retail going private in Andhra Pradesh and its impact, right? How does it work? Some insights on that.
Sure. I'll take the first question with regards to how the margins differ from state to state, right? Now, this, to be very frank, is a function of two things. One is the NSR in that state itself, right? So I'll give you an example. A state like Kerala is, at least from our perspective, is among the lowest NSRs for, right, in the portfolio. So the more the volume of Kerala grows in terms of saliency of our portfolio, it has an impact on our EBITDA margins. Because see, at the end of the day, your COGS, especially on the raw material side, are near about the same, right? Irrespective of which state you sell it in, because the ENA, the concentrate, the grape spirit and all remains the same from that perspective. What does matter in this case is obviously the kind of schemes that you end up giving and the other selling and distribution costs, which also have an impact on EBITDA, right? But getting into granular details of the numbers for each of the states, that we don't do, right? But just to give you a sense, our most profitable states are the states of Karnataka, Andhra Pradesh, Pondicherry, Telangana. These are extremely profitable states for us on a margin basis, while a state like Kerala, not only for us, but for the overall industry itself, would be relatively less profitable on a margin basis.
The retail going private in Andhra Pradesh.
Yeah, so see, with retail going private in Andhra, what we mentioned even in our opening remarks, right, it kind of makes the market into a 100% consumer-driven market, right? So what will sell is essentially what the consumer demands to a great extent in that state, right? So that is the way it will, the market will change to a great extent. Now, why does this benefit us at PI is because we have a tremendously strong brand franchise, right, and brand equity in the form of MHB and CNB. We are at a premium price point in the state, right, which is predominantly consumer driven. From that perspective, we have tremendous confidence in what lies ahead in the state. Obviously, the underlying industry itself is expected to increase, and we will take a higher share of that. So some light on why the industry to increase would be one. I think the government has made an announcement that, you know, 10% shops will be increasing, so that could be one factor. And two, when shop is private, you know, they have paid heavy amount in terms of license fees, so they want to make sure that there is no stock out in the shops. You know, they keep all the brands, they keep them stocked, you know, they make sure that the customers fully service, which might not necessarily happen in government shops. Sometimes we have seen our own products being stocked out, you know, some key sizes may not be available. So, you know, with privatization, we do expect that there will be overall improvement in terms of servicing the market, which will in turn help it to grow.
Also, you mentioned about transitioning of RTM, right, in Andhra Pradesh. So, does it mean destocking or what? Like, how does it result into volume slowdown? Like, some insight on that?
Because they are shifting, they are transitioning between two policies. So, you know, from shops being government retail to private retail in terms of the handover, the stocks at the depot, you know, what happens of that stock which was earlier lying in the government retail, that has to be called back to the depot. So, procedurally, there are a number of issues. New licenses have come up now, where they will set up the shop, you know, they have to get premises, they have to make it operational, etc., etc. So, you know, these challenges are there, which are very common, but of course they're only in the very near short term.
Got it. Also, what is the current status of entering into Tamil Nadu? And apart from the states that we are currently are in, what are the other states which have decent brandy volumes across the country?
So other than the states where we are present, you know, no other state comes to mind, you know, with any decent brandy volumes. Brandy is very small component in north and west geography. Tamil Nadu, currently we have Mansion House Reserve, which is selling. We have the Courier Napoleon Green, which has just got pricing approval, which we will introduce shortly. And for a flagship brand, Mansion House, we expect within the next maybe 2 months or so.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Shantanu Mantri from Think Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks. Congrats, Amuji and Amaya. Excellent results, and what a journey and story it's been for the last 3 odd years.
I'm sorry, the current caller has kept the call on hold. I'll move on to the next question from the line of Shivam Garg from Pariksha Mart. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hello, good afternoon, sir. First of all, thank you for the opportunity. I want to ask about the brandy market. What is the current total addressable market size of flavored beverages? And where does you see brandy stands there? And what do you expect it from 2 years down the line?
So, the flavored spirits industry in the prestige and above segment, right, would essentially be in the high single-digit million cases, right? That is the size that we would see, mid to high single-digit million cases, right? Obviously, brandy as of today is a very small portion of this. A great part of your flavored industry is taken by vodka today. Right, but obviously we do expect, given the way we are positioning brandy within our within the portfolio and all as a drink for a newer demographic, right? We do see a good amount of headway and market share gains that we could make from brandy within the overall flavor spirits.
Okay, sir. And can you describe which two categories will top after brandy in terms of volumes and NSR? And what percentage of margin we can expect from these two categories?
No, sir, like we mentioned, we are looking at certain non-brandy categories, right? But at the end of the day, brandy will still drive our growth to a great extent. We've entered into whiskey with the semi-premium whiskey brand. Right, there will be more such launches and innovations that come out of our stable, but for the moment we surely can't get into margins of what they can derive. What I can guide towards is going forward, what the margins, so our guidance kind of remains the same, right? Over the next 2-3 years, you should be looking at EBITDA margins of somewhere around 16% on an ongoing basis.
What will you give the volume guidance regarding these categories?
So our overall volume guidance is anywhere between 12-15% on a steady state basis.
Okay, and sir, what kind of product mix you see till March of financial year 2025?
I understand the question. Could you repeat that?
Sir, can you tell me about what kind of product mix we can see till the end of the financial year 2025?
It will be somewhat similar to what you see today. So brandy will still be 90%, 90+% of our overall volumes.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Shantanu Mantri from Think Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks. Yeah, just a couple of questions I want to understand. So brandy in the overall industry is huge, right? Almost 20-22% of the overall IMFL industry. Now, in that, Tamil Nadu is a huge market, almost, if I'm not wrong, 50%. And I don't think we have, you know, any significant volumes coming in from Tamil Nadu. So if we were supposed to grow at 15% for the next 3-4 years, you know, then by FY 2028-29, we can hit the 20 million case mark in brandy. So I want to understand that how will the Tamil Nadu market play a role in this journey in the next 3-4 years? What is the mix right now there in terms of P&A and the regular segment in brandy? And what has been stopping us from entering this Tamil Nadu market? What are the dynamics there?
No, so as you rightly mentioned, we have a relatively small presence in Tamil Nadu, right? But having said that, within the brands that we operate in, we have consistently increasing our market share, right? So our premium brandy offering of Mansion House Reserve has been seeing market share gains on a continuous basis, right? So if in Q1 of FY24, we were a 5.5% share of that segment, right, which is more than 2 million cases strong. Today, for the year, today we are at 8.1%. So we have significantly increased our share in the state. Having said that, obviously, there is a humongous opportunity in the state. Not in a position to quantify or to give too many details as to what could happen, right? We don't provide guidance on Tamil Nadu as a state in isolation. But yes, to answer your question, it is a humongous opportunity that we see. The guidance that we do provide, though, of 12-15%, frankly, does not consider a significant incremental share from Tamil Nadu, right? So that is over and above that in terms of opportunity.
Yeah, got it. And lastly, so you mentioned about new pipelines and new products, luxury product in the brandy segment. But apart from that, are there any other products in the pipeline apart from luxury brandy and the whiskey that we've already done? Any other thing that can come up in the next six months to 1 year?
So we would have passed one more launch in the
sounding muffled.
So we would have one more launch in the luxury category in the next 6 months. So okay. One would happen in November and one would happen in the next 6 months.
Got it. Okay. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Dhanorkar for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you everyone for being a part of today's call and showing your interest in TI story. I would like to underline that with an attractive portfolio and pipeline and precision above,
we are in a unique place to align strongly with the pulse of the industry. There is a clear vision for growth that will leverage into our branding leadership while benefiting from innovative introduction in adjacencies and other alcobev categories. This includes scaling up initiatives on the organic side as well as through salient partnerships such as the one with Spaceman Spirits and Round the Cocktails. Our commitment to premiumization has laid a strong foundation for continued success, and we are geared to drive that forward, backed by a healthy cash flow and balance sheet position. Thank you very much for your time and for supporting us on our growth journey. I trust you have addressed your queries for today. We are available for further clarity and discussions at any time at the coordinates mentioned in the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Tilaknagar Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.